Tuesday, April the 26th, back after the Anzac Day long weekend, playing a bit of catch up this morning. Marcus, what have we missed in the markets since the end of last week?
Well, end of last week, of course, Wall Street was down 980 points on Friday. So even though it was up 238, which is a massive turn, at one point it was down 488. So it had effectively lost about 1,500 points in 2 days. Anyway, it bounced overnight to be up 238. But our market today, clearly having a moment, down 170 points or more at one point. And it's all to do with resources. It's to do with China, extended lockdowns, still pursuing zero COVID. And that development is turning into a conversation about whether this is going to cause an economic slowdown. Shanghai's in its fourth week of lockdowns now, and the Chinese stock market fell 5% yesterday. At the same time, the iron ore price, I think, was down 10% yesterday, down another 2.5% today. The oil price down 3.6% yesterday, down 3.5% overnight. Gold down 2%. BHP down 5.9% today. Rio 4.3%. Fortescue 6%. Champion Iron 8%. The whole resources sector is coming off the top and giving us a good smack in this morning.
And with the size of BHP now, a 5% drop in BHP is 0.5% off the market.
Yeah, it's 10% of the index, that is. And the oil price is causing all the oil stocks to go down as well, but Woodside had production numbers today. They're down 5% or so, and we'll come to a bit more of this in the strategy. Developments overnight was Elon Musk taking Twitter private. Bond yields have also come a little bit off the top. Aussie dollar is falling as the market goes risk off, and the US dollar is rising. US dollar is seen as a safe haven currency, and the Aussie dollar seen as a risk on currency. So the Aussie dollar falling now, and that's down from, it was 76.61 at the beginning of this month. It's down to 71.82. That's a huge move in the currency. So you can see there are quite seismic things happening on a macro front at the moment, and the main issue is worried about an economic slowdown. And this is before we talk about inflation, interest rate rises. We've got the CPI number this Wednesday, RBA meeting next week, FOMC meeting next week. And it's before we've even spoken about Russia and those concerns about how long sanctions are going to pressure inflation. So plenty going on, and the market's clearly gone half empty, glass half empty. We're mulling all the negatives at the moment, and resources getting it in the neck. So the big debate in strategy today is, was that the top for resources? And I'll come to that.
Thank you, Marcus. Yes, we'll throw back a little bit later for strategy. Tom, what's happening locally today?
Thank you, Ben. Well, as you probably expect, all sectors are in negative territory. Mining and energy stocks deeply negative. BHP and Rio taking something like 55 points off the ASX 300. EML Payments, the worst performer, off 30% after cutting guidance. And PushPay, the code for that PPH, up 22% after confirming there was some interest in the company. Production reports continue to colour the corporate calendar today and into the week. As Marcus said before, we had numbers from Woodside, also Beach Energy out today. They're off. That's more likely due to the fall in the oil price. Consumer staples and healthcare outperforming, although that doesn't mean much really in a down day. US results season rolls on, and that's about it. Marcus touched on the economic stuff we're looking out for this week. Also edging closer to bank reporting season. ANZ half year results out Wednesday, May 4.
And Bank of Queensland ex dividend May 4. That's an over 3% yield, I think. Also worth mentioning, all the lithium stocks, which are again risk on stocks, all lithium stocks coming off, and rare earths coming off the top today. Mineral resources down 8.4%, Alchem down 6.7%, Pilbara down 4.9%. So everything risky is going down, and we're going into a defensive mode in the short term.
Thank you, Tom. Layden, anything interesting from the brokers out today?
Thanks, Ben. I've got a couple to go through here. Reliance Worldwide. Morgans considers Reliance to be the best value in the building materials sector, and Morgans has an ad recommendation there, but they've lowered their target price 16.5% to $5.30, but this still implies a 35% upside. And Reliance has its third quarter trading update on Friday. Morgans has said that they expect solid earnings, and they flagged price increases to offset commodity input costs increases in the second half. And then following on with that materials sector, theme. Oz Minerals, they had their results last week, missed consensus production for the March quarter, but has received pretty mixed reviews from the brokers, and I'm not sure if they're going to change suit later on and try and follow the trend, but it's mostly been neutral. Citi has a buy recommendation with a target price 24% above the current share price, and Credit Suisse has an underperform recommendation with a target price 14.5% below the current share price, but the average target price there is $25.61, which implies about a 4.3% upside. And Mineral Resources delivered higher iron ore and lower spodumene production than expected, but on a positive note, the average realized iron ore price was $101 per ton compared to Morgan Stanley's forecast of $88 a ton. And Morgan Stanley has an overweight recommendation and a target price 7.7% below the current share price. Citi says buy with a target price of $73, implying a 20% upside. Ben?
Thank you, Layden. Maybe a little bit more than 23% after today's week as well.
And you've put the BHP and Rio research into the strategy section today. The BHP average target price is 14% above the current share price. And for Rio, the average target price 14% above the current share price. But as I've always said, research or target prices on resources are largely irrelevant because they move every day as underlying commodity prices move. And brokers tend to play backcasting rather than forecasting when it comes to earnings numbers on resources stocks, depending on what their commodity price assumptions are, which are often complete guesswork.
It's probably a bit inflated this morning as well because they're both down a fair bit this morning too.
That's very good. Chris, welcome back. What have you got for us in technical trades?
How was the rain in Inverloch?
It was very, very wet one day, but otherwise it actually wasn't too bad. It's beautiful down there, of course. So,
what do you do with two young kids in a tent when it's raining?
Stick them in front of the iPad, mate. Let them watch 8 hours of iPad. There was an indoor pool there, so we managed to make very good use of that, so that was fun.
In the tent.
At the Big Four campsite.
That's how much it rained.
Yeah, there you go.
I can give you a promise. I will never, ever, ever, ever go to a Big Four ever again in my life.
I must admit, once the kids are grown up, and this is not an indictment on the Big Four, but once the kids are grown up, I don't think I'll visit them again either. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't do your back on the bouncy. bouncy
kilo.
I don't think those things are load rated for me, mate, to be perfectly honest.
That's true.
I just haven't stayed well clear.
They don't make a
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Anyway, back to the markets. I just wanted to touch on the XJO. I know Marcus put this chart in the newsletter last week, or it might have been in the weekend edition. I did manage to tune in whilst I was away. And just the importance of the rejection of the 7,600 level. It has happened 3 times now in the past 12 months. And this latest rejection has been incredibly emphatic. And, you know, I know a lot of people think technicals are a load of bollocks, but it's very clear that the market tried to rally, tried to punch through that level that has been a significant resistance twice before, and ultimately has failed. And like Marcus was just talking about, it's a technical failure, but it's a failure in terms of the fundamental picture that's going on as well, and all the worries, again, that Marcus was just talking to. So, you know, we will get these signals. We'll get these fundamental signals. We'll get these technical signals. And this is the market giving us a very clear signal that we don't collectively want to play up at that level. And I think it's quite profound. I certainly think it's worth paying attention to. Back to my little section. Fortunately, I don't have a lot of risk on the table at the moment. The risk that I do have, I will be taking off at lunchtime. I covered a stock this morning called Aurora. It's largely irrelevant now because the market is down 180 odd points, but there are some interesting things to take away. First and foremost, it's a fairly defensive stock. It's a packaging manufacturer. I don't know whether you guys saw the Coca-Cola results last night, but their revenues were up 16%. And whilst these guys don't do the cans for Coca-Cola, they do make cans. They've got Aurora beverage division as well as their boxes like Vizzy and so on and so forth. But this is a fairly defensive stock in quite a nice uptrend. Just needs to break above sort of $3.80, and then it could be on its way. But I think those kind of stocks, those defensive, high quality names that have got stable earnings, chart looks good, they're probably the type of stocks that I personally will be having a look for in the coming days, weeks, and maybe even months as we wade through this sell-off. So a little something in there in terms of the type of stocks that I'll be looking at.
Aurora, of course, is the Amcor paper and packaging division. It was split off.
Spun out quite some time ago, yeah. Almost, but it's grown into
10
its,
years ago,
yeah, it's grown into its own sort of packaging niche section as well.
Very good. Thank you Christopher. Marcus, back to you for strategies, ideas.
Yes, worth mentioning, Henry's still away, but he's back tomorrow, and I am away to Tasmania on a motorbike at the end of this week. That aside, we've covered a bit of strategy in my beginning bit about Chinese lockdowns, worry about economic slowdown, rates going up, Russia's still a risk, commodity prices coming off the top. The main comment, though, I think at this point, and we've talked about rejection of the 7,600 level by the ASX 200. I think the main thing has to be, though, that it doesn't look like a precipitous moment. There's nothing terribly wrong. All these risks are slow burn. Russia, to start with, wasn't slow burn. It was fast burn, but it's become slow burn. The interest rate theme is slow burn. The China issue is slow burn. It could turn around tomorrow. And I do think, as you look at the charts of these 10-year bond yields ripping up, at some point, these 10-year bond yields are going to come off again. And although we're in fear of 250 basis point rides from the FOMC, with the first one coming next week, the chances are at some point we're going to get some inflation and interest rate relief. If the Russian war ended, we'd stop worrying so much about inflation. If the Fed raise rates and make some comment about gradual patient nature of interest rate rises, this whole risk off could go risk on again. So I, at this point, would be, yes, I can fully understand if you said, I'm going to sell some resources as an active investor, but I can fully understand if you, as a long-term investor, said, I'm not going to worry about this, because I don't think you need to, quite honestly. For more active investors, and for newsletter readers who are generally going to be more active, for more active investors, I'd be looking for the moment that the concerns about inflation and interest rates bottom out, and at that point I'd be looking at tech stocks and risk on again. And at the same time, I'd possibly still be getting out of resources as an active investor. If you look at all the charts in the strategy piece today, we're up at the top still, and we've got sell signals all over the charts, and we're not selling at the bottom. If you look at the Fortescue chart in there, sell signals, and we're still pretty much up at the top. You've missed the very top, that's about it. So I could see you selling some resources, and again, I'd be looking for the Chinese situation to suddenly improve, for Shanghai to open up and Beijing to open up, and the resources will come back again. So this is a trading, a macro background which is suited to trading. I don't think investors need to stress about it too much. And you've got this bank sector as well, with dividends, pregnant with dividends. Although the sector usually predictably tops out over the dividends, it's never a precipitous topping out. I think you collect your dividends, relax about that sector, probably does well during initial stages of interest rate rises anyway, and look for the bottom in resources and look for the bottom in technology. This is not a dangerous market moment, I don't think. I think that's probably the best thing I could say on the strategy front today.
Very good.
Very nice. All right, we'll finish with our question, as always. And today, after Elon has finalized,
taken it private, yeah, it's done.
Elon has now taken Twitter private. So the question is that going to make you more likely to use Twitter, Tom?
Absolutely not, Ben. I've never used Twitter. Sorry, that is a lie. I use ComSec, their Twitter account. That is about it. I don't have a personal Twitter. I don't think I've got enough. There aren't enough hours in the day for me to bother with looking at what everyone thinks about everything that's going on in the world.
You don't want to know what some
Chris Conway Trader 84 thinks about.
Thinks about some stock that doesn't matter.
Fair enough,
Laden.
I do have an account, but I just forget that I have it. Like, I've never really been massive on Twitter. I don't really understand the big idea behind it, why everyone raves on about it so much. So I don't think it'll make me change my habits too much.
Nice. Chris?
I've very seriously been considering deleting all my social media accounts. And if it wasn't for the Facebook discussion group, for the fact that Osby's sometimes tagged me on Twitter, I would probably delete them in a second. Here's what I don't understand. You guys might be able to explain it. Twitter came along and had pictures and comments. And then Twitter was just comments. And then Instagram is just pictures. Aren't they all just the same damn thing that's been carved out into these different companies worth hundreds of billions of dollars? It's all the same rubbish. Like, I don't understand why we need three things to tell us the same thing that one tool used to be able to tell us. I don't get it, but I'm old, so whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'll jump in there because I'm a Twitter user, and Twitter is definitely my preferred social media platform. And a lot of people struggle with it because they end up down rabbit holes and get political, Twitter's horrible. I use it for sports, and I follow a few actually quite interesting market people, mm-hmm. and it's a great place to get people's ideas and, you know, what they're thinking and what insights on things. No, that's Instagram.
Oh, sorry.
So I think it's actually quite good if you're in the right spaces, but I can see how people get derailed completely in the wrong areas.
I have found it's a lot quicker, like it's sort of really punchy information that you get, whereas other platforms are a lot more convoluted.
Yeah, it's actually, if something's happened and I want to know why, even if a stock's down 20%, there's no announcement, I'll go on Twitter and I'll search the stock code. And normally that is easier way to find the information than waiting for it to be written up on the AFR or appear somewhere. But that's my take. Marcus?
As far as Musk taking over Twitter is concerned, there's good and bad. I can see, yeah, freedom of speech, but if he wants to allow someone like Trump on there to have freedom of speech, then no one's going to go on there. So yes and no, I don't know. I do like Musk. I was very taken by his series about going back to space. What was that called?
On Netflix, yeah. The Return to Space or something like that.
And they asked him what his priorities are, and he almost broke down in tears without saying anything to say it was to get Ben and John back to the planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is a human. I massively admire that. And if that comes through in what he does, then, you know, all good. But as far as Twitter's concerned, Twitter is, for me, only for information, because some people put good information up there regularly, like the ComSec. Otherwise, I am now clearing out all my social media because I've woken up to the fact it is so much garbage.
That's toxic.
And I now turn off. I've got friends on Facebook over the years. I am turning off. I must have turned off 50% of them now. Anyone who posts a sunset, anyone who posts a picture of their latest meal, anyone who posts anything inane,
forget it.
So what's the point? I don't need to know that crap.
Yeah.
So I'm just cutting people out now. And also, Facebook is commercial, as far as I can see. We're spending money on Facebook, aren't we, on ads? I don't want to be bombarded with other people's ads, but do keep please watching mine. Anyway, that's my feeling on social media. I'm like everybody my age. I bloody hate it. I just hate it. The providing a voice for the annoyed minority. Well, stick it.
We'll end on a slightly positive note. I just wanted to say, on Elon Musk, he did a TED Talk recently within the last couple of weeks. It is absolutely brilliant.
I've been told that by a couple of people.
Absolutely brilliant.
Have to watch.
Yeah, and changed my opinion of him dramatically. I mean, I already thought quite highly of him, but even more so now. So for anyone who's interested, check that TED Talk.
I was going to say too, I think he gets a bad rap kind of for being a billionaire, because no one likes a billionaire, because it's just too much concentration of money. But he's got a pretty, obviously he's got a very good track record in building companies into billion-dollar companies, but his kind of agenda has always been fairly wholesome. Like, he's always tried to make positive change.
And he makes that point in the talk, but he does it very eloquently, so I suggest
we'll check that out. That's a good takeaway to finish on.
There we go.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah.